You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, but it's a really weird word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Boy, our YouTube channel's really taken off, and if you're not up there to get our daily updates, or multiple daily updates, as many as six or seven per day, and we also house our archives there, as well as right here on Global Star Radio Network that we broadcast from, I'd encourage you to go up there and subscribe, and you'll get automatic updates as to when we post something new, and we'll have six new things in the morning, and there's a lot of stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight that we'll expand on in tomorrow's broadcast. Also, I want to remind you that we're brought to you by my good friend, Steve Quayle, and his company, Renaissance Precious Metals. I say it, and I say it again, I keep hearing the rumors of malware with banks in Europe. It was in the European media briefly, and out, never in our media. That tells me it was a beta test, I'm guessing, but I don't have another explanation. Paul Martin caught this, had an article on it at revolutionradio.org. What does this have to do with Steve? Well, convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into as much precious metals as you can. Diversify. Food, gold, water, guns, ammo. Okay, get it all. You need to do it, and you need to do it now if you haven't done it. If you've done it, check and recheck like Santa does. Check your list. Check it twice. You got to see if you're going to be naughty or nice, because I'm telling you, it ain't Santa Claus that's coming to town. It's the New World Order, and they're playing for keeps, and they're not going to put up with this populist movement. You got to prepare to survive. And speaking of surviving, we're also brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com and my good friend Bob Griswold, who has just a ton of great stuff up there. We could call him King Prepper, but I think that would minimize the effectiveness of the services he offers. Go to readymaderesources.com, check out night vision, water treatment, communications, blah, 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 blah. You got the whole thing. And you can see what you need. Where you're weak, he is strong. He can help you. Low pressure, no pressure. He'll just guide you on what you probably need based on your description. Give him a call, 1-800-627-3809. Readymaderesources.com, 1-800-627-3809. And one final, we can help you with the food. Steve will get you the precious metals. Bob will get you the essential resources. I can help you with the food. Numana.com/Hodges. And in all the comparison tests that Mike Adams did between Numana and all the storable food companies, Numana came out number one. Not that the other storable food companies aren't quality. A lot of them are. Some of them aren't. But Numana, for my money, is the best, and that's why I'm affiliated with them. Go to numana.com/Hodges, and for our listening audience, take 5% off the purchase price with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Well, that kind of brings us up to date for the sponsors of this hour. We really appreciate them. We have a great, great show for you tonight. Great in terms of quality of guests and presentation of content. Not great in terms of implications. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by Doug Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report that airs right here on Global Star Radio Network. And Global Star Radio Network, I tell you, has the best shows, I think, that are out there. And Doug's is one of them that airs from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here. Get a hold of him the same way you get a hold of us, just a little different time. Also in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Robert Kudla. And he's kind of been my go-to guy recently on what's coming financially. And what's coming financially is not good. And I mean not good, capital N-O-T. and he's talking about Beware of the Ides of March, and we'll be getting into that in the second hour. And in the third hour, we're going to go and be joined by the producer of Amerageddon, also the owner of Curves, also the hero of Haiti, who spent tens of millions of dollars of his own money saving lives, risking his own life, fighting against those thieves called the Clintons that stole $2 billion of Haitian relief money. Gary Haven in the third hour. It's going to be a very uplifting interview. We'll finish the show on a high note, I hope. Well, Doug Hagman, he needs no introduction. I think he has the most popular, and I think it's the most authentic, best radio show that's out there. He and Joe bring timely topics to their audience 5 days a week. And while yours truly is on vacation next month, Doug and Joe have agreed to fill in for me. So they're going to get to expand their base where the Hagman & Hagman Report comes to the Common Sense Show, and I think you're going to really enjoy that. We'll have more on that later. Doug Hagman, my friend, thanks for joining us on this Sunday evening.
Well, Dave, thanks for having me, and hopefully we won't lose too much of your audience when we guest host next month. But
actually, I think quite the contrary. We'll get quite a bump from this, but we're having you back because you shook the trees last week. You named names in Pizzagate and some of these sex criminals who are affiliated with these protest movements around the country. You name names, and that's not what people are doing. For a large part, people are naming events, trying to predict what's coming, but you're down in the gutter, no pun intended and no insult intended, but you're down there in the gutter identifying the sleazeballs that are doing this to our country, and they all have one thing in common, it seems like. They're indicted or convicted sex criminals. I asked you to come back, Doug, to expand on this because we barely, I think, touched the tip of the iceberg last week.
Well, thanks for having me back, number one. And number two, your third hour guest, Gary Haven, working in Haiti, of course. It's interesting because Haiti does play into what is known as Pizzagate in kind of a very important aspect. By the way, Haiti's got about 760 orphanages. And that lends the island itself, the nation, up for child trafficking and human trafficking, of which this, what is known as Pizzagate, somewhat reference. Now, to expand on last week, if we could just do one thing, if you don't mind, if I could just take a step backward and just let people understand, or just so people understand that what we're talking about here is not anything small. This is huge, and this has its tentacles through all of society, all of Western society, is all nations, all Western nations, but also the Middle East, Arab nations. And what we're seeing here, I think what has been opened up, not as a direct, what was opened up, stumbled upon, was exposure to one of the most profitable, one of the most horrific issues of our time, and that's systemic pedophilia, which is a problem inside D.C., it's a problem inside Hollywood, it's a problem all across all westernized, all Western nations, by the political elite, by the rich, by the famous, and by the infamous. But in terms, and this is kind of what I wanted to drive home initially here, in terms of the systemic nature of pedophilia, the problem, and I know this is not something people talk about in polite company, but this is the currency of politics, in a sense. This is the currency of nations. This is the currency of the degenerates out there, those people wishing to normalize degeneracy, are the same people who are behind the protest marches in D.C. and other areas. But think about this. The International Center for Missing Children, the ICMEC, they estimate that about 8 million children are reported missing each year around the world. And of that number, according to the U.S. Department of Justice research, some 800,000 children will go missing in the United States alone. Now, that's, if you do the math on that, that's about 2,000 missing children every day. Now, of course, all of those children are not kidnapped or a lot of the cases are resolved and pretty quickly. But of that number, about 466,000, about 467,000 cases have been entered or will be entered on average into the FBI's NCIC, which is the National Crime Information Center database. In fact, 466,949 cases were entered in 2014 alone. Now you got to consider the child population, and that is generally accepted as between birth to 17. That's somewhere around 74 to 75 million here in the United States. So that, when you do the math, that equates to about one child for every 92 that go missing in the United States every year. Now, this is a problem, and people might be surprised. They say, oh, hey, I never hear about this. Well, that's by design, because when you look at it, look at the statistics, childhood disappearances outnumber cancer deaths in the United States by a third. So the problem itself is almost incomprehensible to understand the magnitude of this. Some are willing participants, in other words, the parents, the guardians, or whoever will sell or otherwise put their children into a slavery type market for either religious or spiritual, what they believe to be spiritual means, or for monetary purposes, or both. But when you take a look at that kind of sets the stage, that tells people the magnitude of the problem. Now, naming names, I just want to toss a few names out here, and just to let people know that when you look at the mass protests, the riots that are out there, and who are the people behind these riots, for example? Well, James O'Keefe had done a great job with Project Veritas, outing people like Robert Cremer. Now, let me just preface what I'm saying, unless I state otherwise, no one here is guilty of pedophilia. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just naming these names as they have come up in the investigation. This is raw investigative data, so don't make any kind of, nor am I making any allegations of any criminal conduct unless specifically stated. That keeps us both out of legal trouble. But, for example, Robert Cremer, Project Veritas. Here's a guy that's married to Jan Schakowsky, who is the U.S. representative of the 9th District of Illinois. She's been in that position since 1999. Robert Cremer has an interesting history. He pleaded guilty to multiple tax violations and $2.3 million in bank fraud back in the 1990s. He was featured, of course, on the recent Project Veritas video, where he stated that he would incite or have others incite violence at the anti-Trump events, if people might recall that. So let's move to the anti-Trump events and the Women's March, for example. Who did we see? Well, before we move on to that, we also saw Luke Kuhn, for example. Luke Kuhn was behind, or one of the individuals also featured on Project Veritas's video, and he's part of Disrupt J20. Well, Luke Kuhn, if people know, may or may not know this, let me just make sure here. He is termed as a renowned pedophile. He said that he would, of course, burn houses down if people stood in his way. He said he does not recognize the police and would fight them if they have a problem with his lifestyle. But again, this is a major.
Can I ask you, Doug, is he associated with NAMBLA? Do you know?
There's nothing official to that, but he's part of the crew that wants to normalize the degeneracy, normalize the man-boy love. So whether it's
just as a kind of a footnote, the North American Man-Boy Love Association is NAMBLA, and they're advocating for the legitimization and legalization of sex with children. And George Soros is one of their benefactors.
Oh, sure. And Soros comes up so many, in so many different in so many different locations or so many different causes, whether it's direct or indirect. You'll find Soros at the foot or at the base of many of the funding mechanisms for these movements, and especially anything that would cause civil disobedience, riots, and disruptions here in the United States. Soros is behind it's at some level in my personal and professional research belief. Now, we also behind the women's marches, for example, aside from Luke Kuhn, you've got Mika Rhodes. Mika Rhodes is part of the resistance movement in Portland. Well, isn't it interesting? He was arrested on charges related to anarchy or riots back, I think it was earlier. It was late January, I believe it was. But come to find out, he's facing four counts of second-degree sexual abuse. He is, again, as one of the heads of Portland's resistance movement, he has been charged and convicted as a pedophile. This according to records posted in open source information via the internet. These are not my findings. These are just based on open source, and these are not allegations. These are documents of conviction. Now, again, he was arrested, however, again, as I stated, for four counts of secondary sexual abuse. However, people say, well, that's a lie based on his recent political status, but he's already a registered sex offender in the area, and that was for first-degree sexual abuse and sodomy. And that's for the charges and convictions of raping a young teenage boy and girl. Now, these people are behind these anti-fascist movements, the Antifa movements, where the movements where you see these young people wearing masks and smashing windows and punching so-called Nazis or anyone who disagrees with them in the face. Richard Spencer comes to mind, for example. That was recently shown on YouTube. Then we have Donna Hilton, who shared the stage with Ashley Judd. And other luminaries. Well, Donna Hilton, if you look at her background, and this is where it really, and people need to understand who they're dealing with and who's behind this. She was convicted back in 1985 with three men and three other women for kidnapping and torturing a 62-year-old homosexual real estate broker. In fact, a 1995 article in Psychology Today had discussed or had reported on that particular event. Did you hear anything about that, Dave?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, so Donna Hilton, along with, again, with three other men, or three men and three other women, had kidnapped a 62-year-old homosexual real estate broker back in 1985. They kept him for anywhere between, I think they kept him for 3 weeks. He died, might have died sometime around day 15 or day 16, but they tortured him. They took pliers to his testicles. They burned him. They starved him. They took a metal rod, a 3-foot metal rod, and sodomized him. And their response, as reported in the 1995 issue of Psychology Today, was, "Well, he was a homo anyway."
Well, wait. First of all,
yeah.
You know, being a Christian, you know, I have my views on that topic, but that doesn't legitimize prejudice, abuse, and certainly murder. How are these people still... Well, why did they not get lethal injection? I guess that's my question.
Well, look at the justice system itself. Our justice system is broken. I've been on the... You know, as an investigator for 30 years, I've been at the second seat at the table inside the courtroom, and plenty of court hearings, federal, state, and local, and trials and such. And I got to tell you, it's really simple. The system is tilted toward people who've got the money, who've got the influence, who've got the sway to get out of things. Now, Hilton. She did serve her time in prison, but nonetheless, she has that.
She's walking free, Doug. She participated in a murder. How could she be walking free?
Well, I guess you'd have to ask the judge on that and jury. But
okay,
see, that,
and then also, what does this say about the left and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama at all that they would accept someone like this in a position of leadership?
Well, again, that goes to this attempt to normalize this degeneracy that we see taking place. And I think conservative author Gavin McInnes wrote about this back in early February, wrote an article about normalizing degeneracy, I believe, under the same title. But we see this overlap between the people who are causing the anarchy and the people involved in the pedophilia rings all across the country and internationally. And this is a dirty little secret. Now, when you start probing into these issues, and you get people like David Brock, for example. Well, David Brock was perhaps the lover of James Alefantis. Of course, James Alefantis, also known as Jimmy Comet, Jimmy Comet being a reference to Comet Ping Pong. And okay, so James Achilles Alefantis, you know, he's the guy that was at the center of controversy concerning the Pizzagate situation. But when you look at David Brock and his connections to organizations like Correct the Record and Media Matters for America and such, I turn to a young citizen journalist by the name of Andrew Kerr, who's done a fantastic job in connecting some incredible financial dots that suggest that that Brock is through his organizations has just a really interesting and intricate way of laundering money through his organizations to support left-wing Marxist-Leninist progressive causes, such as, its periphery, maybe not direct support, but it's periphery involved with or somewhat supportive of Disrupt J20, Americans Take Action, and other, you know, Answer, Act Now to Stop War and Racist Coalition, Progress Unity Fund, DC Anti-Fascist Coalition, and RefuseFascism.org. And despite information of the contrary, these are the people who are bust in to riots to break the windows and to hurt people and break things. And the mainstream media will say, no, that's unproven, and of course that's fake news. Well, no, it's not. You know, where this can be proven if one digs deep enough in the financials of these various 501c3 and 4 organizations, including but not limited to David Brock. But getting back to the pedophilia and the anarchist overlap here, I think it's so important to understand that this goes back decades now. And I had mentioned this, I think, on the last show that we did together. But one of the things that people have to understand is the Democrats as well as the Republicans, they're both involved in this kind of activity. We saw the Franklin scandal take place back in the 1980s. Before that, back in the 70s, we had the other national and international scandals. And then, of course, the sex parties back in the 90s that included the use of the FBI videotaping and audio taping foreign leaders and even domestic leaders attending the World Trade Organization or the meetings in Seattle back in the mid-90s, and using, now the FBI didn't necessarily use this, but the political machinery behind the FBI, which was politicized, especially under the Clintons and the Bushes, of course, and such, but they used this data for bribery and blackmail, which is why today you've got 100 senators and 435 House members who are either, the majority of whom are either compromised or are being bribed. People will say, well, you know, why, for example, hasn't anything been done in Congress? Well, because a lot of information exists about situations where they wouldn't want to see made public. And I refer back to Robert Creamer's wife, Jan Schakowsky, and Sybil Edmonds did a tremendous job exposing this in her time at the FBI as a translator, where Jan Schakowsky was reportedly set up with a Turkish prostitute or had some sort of liaison with a woman from Turkey, a Turkish lesbian. And her, she was compromised. Now, she vehemently denies this. However, it's interesting because the facts of the case, for example, suggest otherwise. Now, of course, there was no charges made. I'm not insinuating any type of guilt here. I'm just saying that Sybil Edmonds feels strongly that there's a fire where there's this smoke here. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can go back a little bit further too, just so people understand when we hear about the degeneracy that exists in D.C. You remember the call boy services, Barney Frank, for example. If you go back into the 90s and 2000s, Man to Man, Dream Boys, Ultimate First Class, Metro Date, Jovan, many of these call boy services or call out services used high tech finance, and when they had done a lot to entertain, shall we say, many of the politicos inside D.C., power brokers. And then, of course, we have the drugs, sex parties, all of which were bugged by the intelligence services in the United States, including but not limited to the FBI, which ensnared, and people can search this, Craig Spence, who was this very enigmatic figure who threw these glittery parties for key officials in the Bush and Reagan administrations, and media stars, top military officers. Well, all of the gatherings that they attended were young people, under 16, boys and girls were provided for entertainment, drugs and such. All of these people who engaged in these activities have been either blackmailed, bribed, or compromised through their activities. And this, of course, goes from the Craig Spence time. Now, he reportedly killed himself following this exposure. But nonetheless, this goes further. I kind of lost my train of thought there, Dave. But well, this goes to Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein. As we look at this whole sea of this swamp of these degenerate alligators, Jeffrey Epstein, the Lolita Express, and many people know about this, the Orgy Island that he owns. That entire island was bugged. It was bugged not just by Epstein, not just by Epstein and his people, but also by our intelligence services. People like Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin, Anthony Weiner, all of the attendees at this Orgy Island and the Lolita Express were reportedly on videotape and audio tape. And
Doug, let me interject this real quick. Sure. Here. Just cut a podcast that's coming out tomorrow. And speaking of Nick Bryant of the Franklin Scandal, wrote that great book that exposed a lot of what you're talking about here. Nick Bryant wrote another article for Gawker.com. That's G-A-W-K-E-R, Gawker.com. And he found flight manifests that put Bill Clinton with Epstein on the Lolita Express.
Oh,
recently.
Yes. Nick Bryant. And I have a lot of respect for his work, his investigative work. Very well sourced, very well documented. It's an amazing situation when you look at it. Amazing to the extent that this stuff really happens right out in the open. So that's why. That kind of sets the stage for, October 3rd of last year, you had this document dump of the Podesta emails. And that, of course, gave birth to Pizzagate. And that kind of brings us to the present day. Well, what's going on there? Well, the emails, and as I mentioned last week, you had the 650,000 emails on the Anthony Weiner laptop and this is important, and other devices, according to my source inside the Beltway. I've got one. I've developed one. I'm getting this information firsthand. This person will not come forward, and for those people who want to act snarky and leave snarky remarks in the comments saying, well, if they were patriotic, they would come forward, you've got no idea what you're talking about. Okay, you've got no idea of the environment here. You've got no idea that these people could, they don't value life whatsoever. This is not about protecting one's own career. This is about living to see another day. And I'm going to tell you this, Dave. We, the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report, we have been, I'll just put it out there. And folks, you can take this for what it's worth. You can disbelieve me. I don't care. But we have been under threat now since right around the last week I did your show. And the threats are coming. Well, there are threats, and I'm not going to get into the exact nature of them, but we've been advised to stop reporting on this for our own health. And a little suggestions of, you know, hey, next time you start your vehicle, you wonder if it's going to start, or if you're gonna, if that's the last thing you're going to hear, basically, is a loud bang. And if, you know, people want to say that that's just a bunch of hype, well, so be it. Because you've got a bunch of idiots out there who are writing blogs and writing posts who do nothing but tear down our work, your work, and the work of citizen journalists. And they got nothing better to do but sit there and just claim that, you know, no pictures, no police report, it's fake news. Well, they can stick it in there, you know, stay where the sun doesn't shine, because the fact of the matter is, when it comes to my family and threats to my family, threats to my home, my pet, my well-being, my extended family, okay, we handle things a little bit differently. So take that to the bank for what it's worth, and that's a direct message to the idiots out there who are writing these things that they've got no clue as to what they're talking about. They've got too much time on their hands, and they're disinformation agents. As a matter of fact, they claim to be Christians, but as far as I'm concerned, if that's what Christianity is, I certainly wouldn't want any part of their Christianity, and that's my rant for.
Well, I know with Christians like them, who needs Satan? But with regard to what you're talking about here in the story I wrote today, Pizzagate and organ theft from children are connected, and the UN provides that connection, and I actually bring in that link with their document. But what I really find interesting here, Doug, is paralleling what you said. I have two pathologists I've been talking to, one for 3 months and one for about 6 months, and a police officer. And they told me, and these are people who will talk to me, most of them hang up on me, but they tell me that if they get a child who is missing an organ, a dead child,
yes,
in the autopsy, they're not allowed to put it. It's been politicized out of any autopsies. Death by stab wound. Death by exposure. This is what they're told to put. So the cover-up is even down at the local level, Doug. It's no longer, you know, Clinton affiliates, you know, former administration officials of Obama. We're looking, this is seeped all the way down into local law enforcement.
That's pretty interesting, and I've heard somewhat similar things from, back in the 90s, there were medical examiners, coroners, and owners of mortuaries who were involved in very similar things that you're talking about. In other words, they had to keep their mouths shut as to what they saw. And that's well documented through various articles in the Washington Post, Washington Times, in fact, I'll send you off air some of those articles that might fit into what you're talking about now. But this is true. Most children, young children, they are kidnapped and sexually abused, of course, for the perverse entertainment aspect of things. But there are also sacrifices to Moloch, to Satan. And people might hear this and say, well, I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't matter what you or I believe. What matters is what they believe, because belief is the driver of action. Their belief is the driver of their action. And some of the organ harvesting that's being done, of course, is being done in an effort to reach apotheosis, right? Or to live forever, essentially, as godlike people, which is just totally ridiculous. However, there are reports where, and even Dr. Ted Brewer has referenced this through his research, where you have political figures and very rich people who will take the blood of young people and consume that, ingest it, or inject it, whatever the case might be, eating tissue, eating the tissue of young people, as gross as it sounds. You could just, so there's multiple components to this child sex trafficking and child trafficking. As ugly as this whole topic is, we all have to be adults and put on our big boy pants and skirts and to talk about this, because this is a big issue, and quite frankly, it is one that is it's about ready to pop in terms of the investigators who last week we talked about the investigators on the Wiener laptop and such. With Sessions now in as Attorney General, I do believe you're going to see some of the low-hanging fruit, the obvious stuff, the obvious finds, forensic finds on the computer of Wiener, as well as Huma Abedin. I think you're going to find this to be the foundational evidence for cases, like we saw in Norway here back in December, where there was 150 terabytes of child porn that was found. This also goes to a more recent Long Island, New York bust of a priest, where child pornography and drugs were found in this home. This was reported in the New York Daily News back in the 29th, I believe it was, 29th of January. I suspect, although I don't have direct confirmation of this aside from some anecdotal evidence and conversation with my source, that this was, along with the 474 people, as reported by KTLA out of Los Angeles, reported on in February of, February 3rd, I believe it was, the 474 pedophiles arrested, 55 victims rescued in a massive Southern California child trafficking sting dubbed Operation Reclaim and Rebuild. It is my understanding that at least part of that information, if not all of it, part of it was used, the finds from the Wiener devices, was some of the information about that ring was found on that, those devices, the electronic devices from Wiener. So what I'm saying is, all of this is a little, some of the low hanging fruit after Sessions and such, and after the Attorney General's office gets straightened out, I think we're going to see more of these smaller raids. And people are expecting, anyone who might be expecting Hillary Clinton, for example, to be perp walked in front of the mainstream media, I think they're either going to have a long wait or they're going to be sorely disappointed. I don't see that taking place. Eric Prince and others, of course, have said that the investigators are working very hard on this, and there will be arrests made. I do believe that. I do believe right now deals are being made because there's too much exposure to certain people. There are certain people who are attempting to make deals with the prosecution, and this is what we're going to be seeing. And this is not going to be a short, quick process. This is a lengthy process, because we have to understand that this has been going on for decades. At least the modern aspect of this has been going on for decades. The players are well entrenched, and this is why, in many cases, you can see federal judges who were appointed by the various presidents. They were appointed for reasons. You look at the Ninth Circuit, that's another matter by itself, but many of the judges and appellate judges were appointed by the very people who knew that they would need assets in that very position in order to protect them from litigation should things be exposed. And this is what we're seeing right now. So it's an uphill battle. I hope that's clear to people that, you know, we're facing this uphill battle here. But You know, again, and look at, for example, look at other people like Charles Wade, Black Lives Matter. For those people who want to really need more to understand that there's an overlap here, Charles Wade from Black Lives Matter, the Washington Times pointed out he was listed as number 40 on the Roots 100 most influential black activists, although he pretended he was about justice and ethics and doing the right thing. He was actually he was nothing more than a pimp who was caught trafficking a 17-year-old girl. Okay, and so all of this, all of these people are into this perverse activity. The top Obama donor Terry Bean, he was charged with raping a young teenage boy. He was very active in the gay rights movement, the homosexual movement. He worked closely with the Democrats. He did some really nasty things, which I'm not going to get into. And of course, you mentioned Jeffrey Epstein, trafficking teenage girl on a scale exponentially bigger than Charles Wade. So all of these people combined in this massive sewage pit, who are walking free right now. And we're not talking about a conspiracy. We're talking about history repeating itself. You know, you go back into the 1920s, you look at the Weimar culture, intellectuals justified the rampant prostitution of Berlin that had everyone from the oldest of the old grandmothers to grandchildren being sold for elaborate sex acts. And of course we had and that was due to economic factors, of course, ostensibly, but the perversity was there. In the 1950s and 60s we had the people like Allen Ginsberg, who later came out as a proud lover of young boys. He joined NAMBLA. In the 70s, we had the Marxist intellectual sabotage. And I won't even get into those people, but these are all of this combines to make this huge network of psychopaths, in my view. And I, you know, sad I have to say that because, you know, in my view, and preface everything, but with that, but. Certainly, we want to, you know, it's for legal reasons. But when you look at the financing of this, you go back to Soros, as you mentioned. Soros, and many people might find this interesting as well, in amongst all of these people, some of the same names that show up are Soros. And wouldn't you know, an article just came out, or a verification just came out, that Soros was funding not just the leftist democratic causes, but he funded Paul Ryan and John Boehner and Lyndon Johnson.
John McCain.
Yeah, McCain, Grassley.
McCain, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I should add, too, that even Trump, in his picks, and with the people nearest and nearest to him in his office, and I would say, in my personal view, Rince Priebus, for example, is being one, and Flynn being another, are extreme. Well, I don't believe, in my heart of hearts, and my professional opinion as well, that they have got the best intentions, or the best. I don't believe that they are pro Donald Trump. I don't think that they've got Trump's best interests at heart. And I think if you take a few steps back, people take a few steps back and look at some of the connections with Priebus and Flynn and such, I think that there's an extremely interesting financial connection there. And then you've got, of course, you've got Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta. John and Tony Podesta, old friends of Jeffrey Epstein. Then you've got the Hastert, I failed to mention Dennis Hastert, Clement Freud, three convicted child molesters. You know, you've got this built into what is known as Pizzagate. And we kind of touched on that last week, but Pizzagate is being sold as this myth, as this hoax, as this small BS thing by the mainstream media. Of course it's not. This is in fact not conspiracy, not theory, but fact. And this is a culture of degeneracy. And as you had mentioned before, the homosexual lobby, and we could take this a step further, when the White House was lit up over the June 26, 2015, was it, or 16, decision with respect to homosexual marriage, the supporters, the thrust, the impetus behind that, of course, the Obama and the progressive mindset. This is the architecture for that. All of what we're talking about in an attempt to normalize this degenerate behavior through such things as homosexual marriage, man-boy love, underage love, if you will, and I hate to even use that term. This is the undergirding of this new culture, which they want, the politicians in power want to thrust upon us. And this is why we're seeing such this such vitriol in these women's marches. And I would add this, Dr. Michael Lake had mentioned this on our show, and I want to just reiterate this because I do believe that this really is important and relevant. The satanic system of family and governance is a matriarchal system at heart. So the rise of the women's movement should be seen as this antithesis toward the biblical Christian family. So this is a direct assault on Christianity as well. I'm not sure if I made much sense there. There's a lot of information that I gave, but when we talk about Pizzagate as well, John or Dave, one of the issues that come up a lot is, well, what about the justice end of things? What about the people investigating this? And I find it interesting because, you know, we've got a within the Department of Justice, you have a guy by the name of Aaron Rao. That's A-R-U-N, last name R-A-O. He is, according to his profile and social networking profile, he is the chief of the Southern District of the United States Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Maryland. Although Comet Pizza, for example, is technically inside Washington, D.C., it's practically on the border of Chevy Chase, Maryland, which happens to be Aaron Rao's jurisdiction. And I find it interesting when you look at some of the open source social media postings by people like James Achilles, Elefantis, Jimmy Comet, you find Aaron Rao part of the same social network Twitter feed and as a friend, for example, of James Elefantis. How is that even possible when you've got a U.S. attorney that is following and liking and adding to the social networking and Twitter feeds of someone like James Elefantis, for example, of Comet Ping Pong? There's a problem here. The swamp is a lot deeper and much more crowded than people are led to believe. And the Southern District Court, and this is another important aspect, the Southern Division Office also handles thousands of misdemeanor cases that occur in areas of exclusive federal jurisdiction, which is problematic for a number of reasons. But, for example, the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, the National Institute of Health, and military bases. So what takes place is already under the control, for example, of someone already on the inside, like Aaron Rao. Now, again, I'm not suggesting any legal impropriety. I'm just saying it's awful convenient here. And you've got some other anecdotal evidence, and people may be familiar with this because we're looking into this and we're hot on the trail of this. You know, and you might have seen this, I'm sure you have, and I'm sure many of the listeners have seen the YouTube video of Majestic Ape and Amanda Kleinman. This video recorded at Comet Ping Pong during a Sasha Lord's birthday party. And people might I'm trying to describe, I'll describe the video. It's a person, I believe it's a woman, that being Amanda Kleinman, in a blonde wig, wearing a red ski mask, and using a voice modulator or microphone with a voice modulator, and saying some pretty odd things at that location during Lord's birthday party. And people may recall, you know, the personally, well, this is the birthday of our Lord, and that's in reference to Sasha Lord as opposed to our true Lord and Savior. But having said that, this Amanda Kleiman made several references to Secret Pizza, several references to necrophilia, to euthanasia, to child sacrifices. And yeah, we can go through this and find links to Susan Elefantis as well, the sister of James Elefantis, who was a big supporter of Christopher Coleman, who was sentenced to 43 years in prison for multiple counts of child molestation. And I mentioned Haiti before. Well, Haiti, in Haiti, again, 760 orphanages in Haiti, or 790 or 960, a whole bunch. Well, let me get the right number here for you. Yeah, it's 760 orphanages in Haiti. But Laura Silsby, who was arrested, and she was on the radar of Hillary Clinton and a good friend of Hillary Clinton. She was arrested for attempting to smuggle 33 children out of Haiti, ostensibly for their rescue. But she was arrested because those children were not orphans. Many of them were not orphans.
And she was the connection between her, Doug? What's the connection between this person and the Clintons? Have you established any?
Yeah, Laura Silsby actually was. She ran this. I'm just looking here at my notes. She worked as a, basically as a child trafficker, but she was part of the, she was subsidized by the, in part, by monies connected to the Clinton Global Initiative. And she came on the radar of Hillary Clinton through a third party when she was arrested. And there are many, many, many emails from the Podesta leak that link Hillary Clinton to Laura Silsby, who's now known as, under a different name, and I think we mentioned this last time. Where Laura Silsby was now working for part of what's considered the Amber Alert system. But it's interesting because her attorney, Jorge Puello, was a convicted child trafficker. So it wasn't real. Yeah, it wasn't.
Doug,
really,
we're almost out of time. We got about a minute left, and
I'm just getting started.
I'm still. You know what you need to do? You need to do a flowchart like they did when Congress finally received real testimony about the organization of the Mafia. You need to do a flowchart like this.
I've got one on my whiteboard. I just need a bigger whiteboard. No, and you're right, though. And thank you for that recommendation. You're right, because people need to understand the connections here. And once they understand the connections, they'll understand why a lot of
this is incredible. Hey, we got about 30 seconds. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your book briefly. And my head's spinning, so I may sound dizzy while you explain it, but tell everyone how they get a copy of your book.
Well, thanks, Dave. Stained by Blood is a book I wrote. This is about the 1982 stabbing death of my uncle, supposed to be solved in a day and a half because of all the forensic evidence. 5 years later, I took it as a PI, as an unsolved cold case, solved it in short order, and in the process of my investigation discovered, well, a Pizzagate of my own related to my uncle's death. And that's what that book is about. True story. And you go to Amazon or stainedbyblood.com if you'd like a signed copy. Thanks for allowing me to
incredible. Doug Hagman, you're amazing, man. You're kicking butt and taking names, and I so appreciate what you're doing. To everybody else, we'll be back at the top of the hour after the news, and we'll be welcoming my friend Robert Kudla on what's coming economically, and that's not pretty either. Doug, thanks so much.
God bless you.